There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I find that if I have a lozenge and I
lozenge
and I happen to either get, you know, like blood up all up in it or like some yellow from the deep part of my throat. You know when you get yellow just comes out of your throat?
Every day.
It's a good sign, yeah.
Yeah. What I do then to get rid of it is I take my house keys and I just kind of goop it out. I kind of scoop it out with my house keys, and then you can keep sucking on that lozenge for as long as you want.
That's what people do with like sardines and stuff. That's what a sailor would do.
I'm just saying, has a sailor ever been wrong? Sailor doesn't have a family. Sailor That's doesn't true. Have a fucking address so the government can find him. A sailor's got a fun little hat He's friends with the fish. I don't know what sailors do.
That's about right. They got funny hats and they're friends with fish.
I am not allowed to go on any sort of boat or be a sailor because I'm allergic to rope.
That's not true.
That is true.
The Zabrowski family used to cruise all the time. You guys were buffet kings.
Yeah, but that's basically a moving hotel. You go from a hallway. It's like a dock onto a hallway that takes you to just basically a room.
Right.
Because that's all my parents did was stay inside one of the little side cabin rooms. They didn't go outside. They weren't.
Right.
We weren't a sunning people. Mm-hmm. We look like the clump.
I'm sure
you look like
did.
The white clumps.
The white clumps, indeed. Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. We're joined by a white clump.
Hercules. Hercules? Is that what this is? Is that what you wanted me to do?
I don't know. Yes. That turned out to be exactly what everyone wanted you to do.
So today's episode. I'm honestly having a really hard time concentrating on anything but what is rolling around in my brain right now. Marcus knows the feeling.
Marcus sort of takes the lead on the research, but this episode is a Henry Zabrowski special.
Well, of course, because what were we doing today? We're doing Aliens. We're back.
And back to Aliens. And this one is called Coronado.
Coronado.
The Hotel del Coronado group abduction. Okay. Where we're going to start now is what I believe to be is a sort of series of different alien episodes. So it's going to combine either a specific abduction scenario and the teachings of Jacques Vallée, who is a doctor, French doctor, if you could tell by his fucking name.
Jacques.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Henry.
His real name is John Vallée.
Yeah.
No, he's a doctor. He's a biologist.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a for real doctor. This guy is one of the most interesting. I'm reading a book right now. Hold a second.
Oh my. Okay, so Henry's gotten up now, and he's going to go do some.
Into his book bag.
He just has a book in his pocket. So,
it was right in front of him the entire time.
I'm confused.
All right,
I'm truly confused.
The book on the table. This episode is going to be smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing. This is what I said this before. We are not going to do the same jumbled, ridiculous alien episode that we normally do. We have an outline today.
Yeah.
Which we're sticking to.
We are not currently sticking to it.
I'm just going to say, this is a part of a trilogy by Dr. Jacques Vallée and the first book is called Dimensions, A Casebook of Alien Contact. And what he is trying to do is basically create a precedent that alien abductions and alien contact has been going on since the beginning of human time. We all know as people that are members, the people who've been listening to this podcast, we already know for a fact that that's fucking true. And it's been held secretly away from us by whoever it was. And it's not the president, because the president's too busy golfing and looking pretty in a bunch of ties. President does.
He golfs a lot.
So he doesn't got the fucking keys to the secret. He has no idea where the secret room is, where Klaxor is, and J. Edgar Hoover, who's still alive.
Possibly. You never know.
Somewhere in a broom closet dressed up as Carol Channing. And Carol Channing is there, and they're all fucking blowing each other and making new Wi-Fi fucking computers for you.
Not far from the truth. We all know these people have crazy sex parties.
But this story, this is the Hotel del Coronado, is a very fancy hotel that is on the island off of San Diego, which means a whale's vagina. You remember that?
We can't do any Anchorman references.
Anchorman.
I can't do it.
Anchorman.
I can't do it.
You remember that?
I didn't remember for a second.
I'm taking San Diego back. I hate San Diego. It's been ruined by that goddamn movie, and if I lived in San Diego, I'd be livid.
And so in this abduction is we're seeing about 10 to 12 people that are all abducted together in one night. And we're going to see many different abduction scenarios. Possibly every single type of abduction scenario that exists all happens within this just this one event. And what Jacques Vallée talks about, which I'm trying to get to, it's like I basically read a 500-page book about the Hotel del Coronado incident over the last 2 days, so I'm a little confused.
Welcome to the Hotel del Coronado.
That is what you, my fucking house has become the Hotel del Coronado. Right. Yesterday was just me sitting with my vape. I drank 3 pots of coffee and just drank and read all day. So I'm living an existence.
Yeah, man.
But Jacques Vallée talks about how there is the same instances of both high strangeness, which we see in several alien abductions, stuff like making them eat black goop, or a story about an abduction scenario that happened in Kentucky in 1955, where basically a man heard a alien craft landed on his lawn. He came out and met the alien creatures as they were coming out of the craft with a shotgun, and he shot one of them, and the creature went like pew 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 and shot around like it was a Looney Tunes cartoon. Yeah. Right? And so
are you sure the guy didn't just shoot his television while watching a Looney Tunes cartoon?
He may have just been hammered and fell asleep while watching Wile E. Coyote.
It's possible.
But these scenarios involve high ridiculousness but also physical evidence, as we'll see with this abduction case, which is like implants, like indentations where the crafts like landed. All of these little bits have a psychic and physical like component to them, each abduction scenario. And there is a thing in between those that makes the abduction scenario important to the human race, and that is what Jacques Vallée is trying to talk about. The symbolism of the weird nonsense and the actual physical happening of the abduction means something to us, but I haven't gotten to that part of the book yet.
All right. I want to know what that black goop tastes like. It might be unbelievably like a Turkish delight.
What is this? No. We're not talking about Willy Wonka's from fucking Pleiades.
It's the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That woman kept on giving all the kids Turkish delight.
I still think about those Turkish delights.
I do, too. I used to go into my closet as a kid and just bang my head against the back wall. It never opened up.
Man. Syrup. They were going for one of those late-term abortions where they hope you just drink yourself to death when you're 35. Yes.
I'm still trying to kill myself in my mother's womb. And if you think about it, we're all still in our mother's womb if you think about Earth as our mother. All right.
I'll think about it that way.
About
but,
it.
Sure, you know, yeah. But before that, let's get
to this.
To the actual Coronado incident on March 26, 1994 at a UFO convention.
It's very convenient.
Yeah.
In which, and we'll get more into the guts of this detail later on, Bill Clinton was present at the same hotel giving a speech on the night of said mass abduction.
Hiding in plain sight?
Bill Clinton.
Or was he just having a fat chick blow him out by the spa? I'm not really sure.
Slavery. So what happens? So there's a UFO convention. A bunch of people are over there. It's like having a Scott Baio event and then a fan event, and then Scott Baio actually shows up. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
But then Scott Baio kind of pulls a Bill Cosby and gives you a glass of wine and rapes you in your hotel room.
Occasionally just some coffee.
Yeah.
So on March 14th, 1994, Mike Evans and his wife were visited by extraterrestrials in their hotel room.
Cool.
And on the very same night, several of their friends who were staying in adjacent rooms in the same hotel were also experiencing an encounter.
So basically, there was a line of people all together that were all staying on the same floor, not at the Hotel del Coronado. It was a place called the Village Inn. Now, because Yvonne Smith, who was like a very famous UFO researcher and hypnotherapist named Yvonne Smith, helped collect all of these stories together in a series of hypnotic regressions on the Hotel del Coronado night, and she wrote a book called Coronado, which includes a bunch of transcripts of her hypnotherapic sessions. And that's what I have with me today. And now, so Mike Evans, what's really interesting is how it all happened at once, and they all heard each other get abducted. And
how did the aliens do it? Was like a room service. Go away.
That is very funny, Ben.
Yeah, is it possible?
No, absolutely not. That would just be if you were vacationing in like Colombia and you were just getting taken by a bunch of guerrillas. So we're going to read some regressions of what happened that night. All of them basically said the same thing. They arrived that Friday. They all were, every single one of them remarks of being like, and it was the smallest bathroom I've ever seen.
Right.
Now, these people go into this hotel room at the Village Inn, and anybody who is abducted by aliens. I don't know if it's just being the abducted by aliens, but like just the either the type of people they just choose or they're all real weird and they're all the nerds.
I feel terrible for the people working the Village Inn that weekend. That sucks when the UFO convention rolls through town.
Absolutely. So the night of Saturday, so they all kind of had like a get together. So they're all there for the this conference. Bill Clinton's also there, eating mayonnaise straight out of a packet somewhere in a hotel. And this, so Saturday night is when the events took place. Each one of these abductions began with the same thing, with the whole room getting bathed with sort of a blue light. And I'm going to have Ben Kissel here read the part of Yvonne Smith with me.
Yvonne Smith is the hypnotherapist that, by the way, let's give some of Yvonne Smith's credentials very quickly before we get into this. After 2 years of study and 1,000 hours of internship at the California Hypnosis Motivation Institute, the only accredited hypnosis college in the United States.
Yeah, and he was just showing up, right? Like, he was just like, well, I'm your intern now.
But the problem with the Hypnosis Institute is that they just go like, welcome to the Institute. 5, 4, 3, 2, you're getting sleepy. 1, when you open your eyes, you will have graduated from the hypnotist institute. 5, 4, coming out of the hypnosis, you're feeling less sleepy. 2, 1.
Wow. That is pretty much all I remember from college. Yep. That's about accurate.
Yep. Is that the wedding song?
Oh, that's nice.
She's got her, she got her hypnotherapy certification in 1990, and in 1991, she founded CERO, the Close Encounters Resource Organization.
And now these people are all members of CERO. Everybody that got abducted that night, and each one of them either did not know that they had previous abduction experiences, but most of them did. Some of the stories we will read of some of the women that were abducted have some crazy fucking stories. Yeah. And what I also love is the outline that Marcus put together did not include some of the more juicy details that happened that night.
Again, is it possible they were just raped?
Let's see.
All right, okay, we'll move on.
So Mike Evans started with a story of he was abducted when he was a boy. And he found this out through regression therapy. And basically as a boy, he woke up, he went on a camping trip. And what he would do is he would camp out in his backyard. His grandfather would own lots and lots and lots of land. And so he would have, he had a little creek he went to and a little greenhouse that he would go hide in to like get away from his grandparents. He didn't really, the way he talked about getting away from his grandparents would seem like, he didn't go into detail, but it seemed like there was something happening. Because he was like, I like to spend a lot of time in that green room. It's just nice to get away from what was going on in the house anyway, Claxor. And so he was noticing missing time scenarios where he would go out. So a lot of these abduction scenarios, which you're going to find out, it's the reason why they go into regression. It's a lot of times it's a puzzling experience that they had when they were younger, that the way they say the aliens deal with it is sort of like hypnotize you so you don't fucking remember. And they put a bunch of bullshit on top of it so that you can't get to it.
Are they nerds because they were abducted, or were they abducted because they were nerds?
Interesting.
Good question. I think they were abducted because they were molested by their grandfather. That's possible.
They go out to this. So he would talk about how you'd go out to his greenhouse, and sometimes he'd like, he's like, I go out there in the morning, and next thing I know, it's nighttime. And it's like,
but time just, you know.
Yeah, it just goes away when I'm out there, and I got 2 whole plants. And they take, each one takes about 3 hours apiece for me to stare at it.
Yeah.
Anything but being inside that house.
That's terrible. You're supposed to love your grandparents.
And so, well, the story also then, Mike Evans has got the story of he awoke on a table when they go into the regression. He woke on a table, being tiny jaw, you know, almond-shaped head, huge black eyes, has him laying down on a table, and he's got a plate on his left arm that holds his body down. Also, he notices that there is a gigantic x-ray machine. The term x-ray machine is also thrown around quite a bit in these specific abductions, where they keep talking about like seeing a machine that they think of as an x-ray machine. And he said that as a boy, he was on this table, and they put a cup over his penis, and then the penis, and this basically, it was a cup
like
over
a
his
Dixie
penis.
Cup?
Like a let's say they traveled here from Andromeda, so hopefully it's not a Dixie cup.
Yeah.
And it had a snake inside of it that went up inside of his penis and made him ejaculate. And then he felt really embarrassed about ejaculating in front of them, and they're like, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do this.
Yeah.
All the aliens are very supportive and very cool about what they're doing to you.
This kid just got hard during his first physical, and he made this all up.
Yeah, possibly.
Yes, okay.
Ben? Or are there many dimensions and we are a part of one fragile slice of reality?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was very nervous the first time I got a physical. Dr. Hegness gave it to me. And ugh. I did beef up a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
Nah. Disgusting.
Yeah, Hegness.
No, mine goes straight up inside me. Yeah. I don't want him to see how important I can become.
Mike Evans, when he was abducted, when the aliens came down, he was at one of the few people that was actually like woken up by the light, and he assumed that it was just an airplane outside, so he went and closed the window.
Absolutely, okay. Which is now in a post 9/11 world. If I think a plane's coming, I'm running out of the house.
just yell, yeah. Just get your last.
Yeah, this was in the Clinton years when everything was fucking hunky dory.
It was
so
great.
This story is that when Mike Evans is awake, is at the hotel. Fast forward to 1994, at the Hotel Tel Coronado. When Mike Evans woke up, he woke up with blood on his pillow. Basically, he in his conscious memory is that he went to sleep, he woke up, there was blood on his pillow. His wife saw it. They took a picture of it and measured it with a ruler.
Oh, man, that is a hell of a nice wife.
First, he assumed that he had just struck his lip on the sink, but he was like, but no, my lip is fine.
Mm-hmm. Why
would he? Well, I've done that 100 times before.
Because it's also possibly an alien programming bit that's put into his brain.
Ah.
So we're going to read this transcript from a regression done to Mike Evans with Yvonne Smith right now.
All right. Okay, now, Mike, take a deep breath.
Try to do this. Try to do it.
Okay, Mike, now as you take deep cleansing breaths, allow the information to come forward as you drift back to March 25th, 1994.
It's nighttime. We just pulled up. I get out of the car. I open the screen door, and I get through the door. There's nobody at the desk. I ring the bell, and this guy comes out. They live in the back part. I asked him if Alice and Lacey were there, but he said they were gone. So he gives me the key to our room, and we get our baggage, and a guy from behind the counter shows us where the elevator is. It's like we walk into this closet-like thing. It's a little elevator. Just enough for two people, so little. They all talk about this fucking elevator.
Yeah.
So we go upstairs in the elevator, so small. And you have to close the door. It's like a little cage door inside, and we go up there. But I'm tired. Jean is putting the book away. She's tired. She puts her light out, and I put mine out. I give her a kiss, you know, a winky wink. And I go to sleep. This light. This light is coming through the window. It's waking me up.
What position are you in?
On my back. I see the light. It's like a light. The light's coming through between the blinds. It wakes me up.
Are you lying on your back in the bed looking at the light?
I'm just looking at the light. It's bright. I just have the feeling that there's something in the room there. I can't see. There's a lot of light, and I see, like, shadows. It's foggy light, and I see shadows in the light.
Okay, Mike, now take a good look around the room and the shadows in the light. How many shadows do you see?
I think I see four. I see them in front of the bed. Yeah, I see one of them come over on my side, on my right side. I see him looking down at me. He has big eyes. He looks down at me. I think he's turning my head. He has something in his hand. It's like a long object. It has something. He's doing something to my ear. It's just looking at me. It has a large head, like a very pointy chin. I can see this one very clearly, very large, very black eyes. Oh, I see a hand coming up. He has something in his hand, long, pointy thing. I think he put that in my ear. I don't have pain. I have this buzzing in my ear. It's high-pitched.
All right, Mike, take a deep breath and describe what he's putting in your ear.
I'm trying to take a look at it. It's a small thing that has like a cage over it or something, and it has a high-pitched noise.
Okay, just stay focused on what's happening in your ear. Everything is coming in very sharp and clear. Do you feel any pain?
I don't feel any pain. I can't help but feel you're not being very sympathetic to me, Yvonne. He turns my head. He puts this thing in my ear. I don't feel anything. The object in this guy's hand, I think it was kind of like a ball in the end of it. Like a wire ball. There was something inside the wire. A ball. A wire ball. He only had four fingers. He kind of held it like this here.
No, right.
So I kind of saw it.
I'm on my back. Your microphone pretty bad on that one.
I'm on my back. That being is just looking at me. Oh, they all leave. They just left. They were in the light. Then it got dark in the room.
So that's Mike Evans' story of what he saw. Yeah. And so basically what happened after that is that he went to the doctor, and so the blood came from his ear. And so that day, you're going to also see each one of them woke up, and basically it was a... It ruined everybody's day. No one knew what happened. They all woke up all groggy. Had no idea what happened.
Everyone had mild to major flu-like symptoms.
Yes, which is very common. Which is also Jacques Vallée talks about has been happening since the beginning of time. When people talk about visiting things like the gentry, or like when they
What's
say
the gentry,
it is a type of like Irish, like it's a UK like. You remember the hidden people when we did the episode about Iceland?
Okay.
About like basically
the
Hildefik.
Like,
the Hildefik is that they are a group of, it's like fairies and like otherworldly entities that can take people, but also will give things in exchange for knowledge.
Okay.
Well, basically, and so it's basically the exact like alien story, but from ancient humankind. And Jacques Vallée would talk about all the time is how people would visit the elves and they'd get really sick.
Okay, so
it's just always been happening.
So everyone got the flu there. Was it possible that everyone ate the wrong bagel at the continental breakfast?
No, because his wife Gina felt fine.
Ah.
Yeah, so unless there were alien enthusiasts eating different meals from non-alien enthusiasts, because we can probably assume that Gina was not an alien enthusiast. And was very mad about spending her vacation days in San Diego at the Coronado Hotel.
Measuring pools of blood on a pillow. It's a very bizarre
weekend. I gotta say, that's probably their most exciting day they've had in years.
Yeah. I love that they saw a bunch of blood and they immediately were just like, get the ruler, honey. We gotta see how long this one is.
But later on down the line, Mike Evans went to go to get an MRI from the doctor because he was experiencing a lot of ear pain because the blood that came out of his ear, like, basically had been happening over and over again. He had three more abductions experiences. Also got raped again.
Okay.
Where, again, they just fish a line up the penis.
It's bizarre. It's a different kind of rape than I'm used to hearing. Obviously, the anal probe, it's cliche at this point. They went in for more of a catheter approach.
Yes. Because they just want to get that sweet, sweet jazz.
Right.
You know how it is. All these, you know, ladies, as they're getting older, all they're looking for is that sweet, sweet jazzing because they want a baby. And that's all these aliens want.
Yeah, and you got to get it fresh right out of the nuts.
You can't even spend the time shooting it out into the air.
Yeah. That is fresh.
And you can't just go in and grab, you know, a sock.
So Mike Evans went to get an MRI and the doctor was like, well, you got to stop cleaning your ear out so crazy. You got a puncture wound in there.
Oh,
and
my.
Basically they found that they had a full puncture wound through his eardrum.
Wow.
His brain.
Yeah.
So something's happening.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
So it was sort of a steel wool type thing. I like this guy's story. It's a little bit different than the traditional story, so it gives it some credit.
You know, a lot of these stories, they are, and when they did the hypnotism, they kept all of these people separate. And they didn't allow any of them to talk to, you know, trade stories or anything like that to contaminate each other's experience.
And what's also interesting is because they all had experiences being abducted.
Yeah.
They all knew that. They all knew that they all felt weird that night, and they were all very used to this fact of, like, basically experiencing the abduction and then kind of letting it settle. Mm-hmm. Because that's when the memories come out is later on. It's like most of the time, because the aliens specifically, if you believe that there is a physical component to the abduction scenario, and the aliens are taking people and then knocking them out so they don't remember, like, they know that. They already know that this is kind of what happens.
And not just that, but Yvonne Smith, she's actually a pretty good person. I checked out some of her other credentials, listened to some interviews and all that. She works a lot with veterans. She works with people. Her specific area of expertise is PTSD. And she uses hypnotherapy to try to, I guess, not really cure, but try to get to the root of people's PTSD. And that's what she believes, that anyone who has been abducted by aliens definitely suffers from PTSD.
Which
explains why these people the next day weren't just immediately going down to breakfast. They're like, hey, do you have a weird fucking night?
No, literally, because we're going to find out this next one will cover basically the two ladies that were staying together in the next room over. Because that was the other thing, too, is that that the old everybody else talked about how they heard a man scream in the night.
Yeah.
Because what happened was that Mike Evans, when he saw the plane coming in, he literally saw the plane coming in, and he was just like, I knew what was happening because I started feeling a feeling all over my body that I always feel when I'm getting abducted, which is this tingly feeling from the tips of the toes to the top of my fucking head, right? So he sees it, and so he like he was like, I didn't know what to do, so I literally walked through the hallway and went, and then like walked back into his room, and the aliens took him.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, all victims of a sexual assault, which is what these aliens are doing, and they need to be arrested for it if they ever do land on Earth. They're all a bunch of rapists.
Well, yeah, they're all up there wearing a bunch of like funny sweaters, you know, exactly. Just going like, Theo, you must do the dishes, Theo.
It's very difficult to talk about these things when you feel like you're a victim of something so sensitive.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So. The people that were in the room adjacent to Evans, Nancy Staller, which is a pseudonym. She doesn't want her real name to get out there. But however, Lori Angelone doesn't give a fuck. She's using her real name.
That's good.
They were also abducted. Staller said that she consciously remembers having an extremely restless night, and she also remembers being awoken by a brightly filled room, but then after that, hazy, blurry.
And so we now go to, let's cut to the hypnotherapy session of what, in the book, her name is Alice, which I think is really interesting because I'm not sure which is the cover-up name and which is the fake name.
Right.
Which is the real name.
I would say probably Lori Angelone.
Lori Angelone!
I like it. That's a nice name. Angelone.
So this is, Alice and, it's Alice Nancy and Lori Lacey, her name's Lacey in the book, they stayed together in one room, and one of them got the raw end of the deal, and one of them didn't. Which you're also going to see, which in each one of these abduction scenarios, too, is that the aliens choose one, and the other one is just becomes a witness to it, except for the wives.
Yeah.
Except for when it had, like...
Except for the ones who have been dragged along by their husbands.
Because they're like, all right.
Childless couples.
Sad. Sad times.
Get a cat!
Well, they had a lot to talk about on Sunday anyway. That's good.
All right, so now... So we're going to do the same thing. So you read YS, I read A.
All right. Yeah. Alice, now take a deep breath. When I touch your forehead, allow yourself to drift down deeper. And now it's much later on this Friday night. You're in bed, and Lacey is in bed, and the TV... This is hot. And the TV...
I can't imagine that it's hot. I don't think there's sex.
All right, you're in bed, and Lacey's in bed, and the TV lights are off. The TV and the lights are off.
Your nipples are hard.
Yes. Now, using all of your senses, feel yourself there in the hotel room, and get in touch with your body as if...
Get on with it.
Yeah. And get in touch with how your body feels as your body retains memories. Just verbalize anything that you're sensing.
Flash of light.
All right. Where do you sense or see the flash of light?
My eyelids.
All right. So how do you sense the light? Do you feel it in your eyelids? Try to verbalize everything that you're sensing.
Oh, I just see Lacey in bed with her knees pulled up.
which way is she facing? My goodness.
Oh, she's like parallel with the window, facing the headboard. I don't know how I see that. Maybe the light, but I see like a flash.
All right, get a sense of all around you. Do you sense any sounds, any movement? Is Lacey moving? Is she awake?
Yeah, she's got her knees pulled up. She's holding her knees. Oh, it's nothing. It's dark. Oh, I'm in the corner of the room sitting against the wall.
All right, you feel yourself sitting in the corner?
Yeah, I jumped out of bed and I'm in the corner.
Do you know why you jumped out of bed?
I'm to the left of the bed in the corner. He scared me.
What scared you?
He scared me.
Who is he?
Next to the bed.
Who is he?
Oh, he had long fingers.
Holden McNeely. Yeah.
He tried to touch me. Oh, long skinny fingers. He's looking at me. That's why I jumped out of bed. I can't hide, though.
Can you see his face?
A bug. He looks like a big bug. Left leg. Oh, they're looking at my leg. Oh, I don't know why they're looking at my leg.
All right, now get in touch with your left leg. How does your left leg feel? Oh, do you feel pressure, pain,
hot? It looks like a shot or something in my left leg, like a big needle of some kind.
All right, what part of your leg do you feel this shot or
needle?
Are
they putting something in my leg through a needle? It makes no sense. No, he was holding it. I don't feel anything, though. I feel very drugged, very drugged. Oh, I'm so drugged. They did something to me.
All right, what position is your left leg in?
An inclined position, tilted.
All right, and the needle is still in your left leg?
No, they're rolling me on the right side. I saw the needle. I don't feel the needle. I'm very drugged. Oh, I can't move anything. They don't want me to move. They say, don't move. Don't move. Everything be okay. Oh, I'm feeling nauseous, sick. They make me sick. They make me feel sick to my stomach. I'm very drugged. I think they gave me something.
All right, now without feeling any pain or discomfort, just describe everything that's happening with your leg.
No.
Done, they're done. I hear the word done, they're done. It's over. I hear that word done. And go back, go back. And so basically, when she woke up, she found out, what they have now, again, this is the second trope of alien abductions we're going to see immediately, which is she wakes up with a scoop mark on her leg, a freshly cut, like a melon baller. Yeah.
Melon baller. Best invention ever.
Even more disturbing, when she woke up, her bedspread was rolled up and placed lengthwise across her bed over her neck and tucked under her mattress so tightly she was at first unable to stand up.
And this is where Nancy Staller sounds real fucking annoying, is that she has her own traveling blanket that she brings with her everywhere.
Oh, no, I hate that.
And she has a traveling blanket. So basically, like, long story short, Lacey/Lori saw the whole thing happen.
Okay.
She was sitting there, and she woke up to seeing Alice in the corner of the room shrieking, crying, right? And she was just like, what's that smell? Four grays come into the room through the window, and they stink like farts. They smell like rotten eggs.
Sure.
Right? Thing.
And so she was like,
you should hear what they say about us, you know?
Hot dogs.
That's what, yeah, exactly. Humans smell like hot dogs.
Yeah, making me hungry.
Why not?
And so they saw her, and she was like, oh, they're not here for me, because I don't get those guys. I get the Nordics. That's the ones that normally come for me. And so they basically...
So these people subscribe to the seven races or the 12 races
theory? Yes, they do.
The Nordics, the Pleiadians.
Lacey has seen reptilians.
Mm-hmm.
She's seen greys. She's seen the bug ones, the praying mantis ones.
Yeah.
And so she saw the greys come in. She's like, oh, they're not here for me. They're here for Alex. She jumps on top of Alice to try to save her. All of this was only found out through regression. The aliens literally go like, doo-doo, and like zap her off of her.
Yeah.
She lifts up out of the room, right? Undisclosed amount of period of time goes by. She's floated back onto the bed, and then she sat and she said she watched. She's like, I was watching them. I was watching them, and they don't know what to do with the blanket. They don't know how to put the blanket on her. The blanket I got from the closet that she brought. They lay it this way on her neck, horizontally. It drapes on the floor as if to hold her down. Oh, they see me watching. And so basically a bunch of aliens were like, what is this?
Wrong blanket. They're trying to get the blanket on the bed, but it's not the blanket for the bed.
What kind of pain in the ass bitch brings her own blanket to a hotel?
I've got an idea.
That's unbelievable.
Just follow my lead, dude.
Roll it up.
So she woke up with a blanket tied around her neck.
They did not do it right at all.
No, because they're
make her seem comfortable. Yeah.
They're used to sleeping with, like, tubes up their ass.
I love that they're a superior race of beings, but they just can't figure out the pesky blanket.
And so another story about Alice is that she was... So we've covered Dr. Roger Lear on this show, who is a podiatrist who has also become a surgeon hero of the alien abduction movement.
Also one of the founding members of CERO.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And he's been in the game a long time.
And you ever see his... Have you watched interviews with Roger Lear, and you watch him go from, like, normal doctor to, like, alien superstar? And so it's him just... Normally, he's just wearing a lab coat, and he's just like, we take a look for implants as much as you can. It cuts to his last interviews right before he died. It's him with, like, a diamond stud earring and, like, a leather jacket on. He's being like, yeah. We got people zipping and zopping out of here. And so what he does is he provides free... like surgery for people who say they have alien implants. So Alice/Nancy Staller went in to get that scoop mark checked out.
Yeah.
He basically excavated it and found a piece of and it was like a piece of glass that had fibrous things all over it that were like basically built into it to keep it in place. And so he scooped it and they sent it off to a bunch of labs. They did a bunch of research on it. And what happened was that later abductions, the aliens punished her for removing her implant and put one in her ear.
Ooh,
and basically fucked her up. She showed up, she's got all of these pictures of her just with bruises all over, with puncture marks all over herself.
And what's the point of the implants? Why do the aliens
put it in? We do not know.
We have no clue.
I wonder if it's to get our, just information on our bodies and stuff like that, sort of like a...
Yeah, it could be some sort of mechanism
what if
where
it's just
it transmits information back to the grays.
What if it's just a glorified step counter? That'd be kind of sad. Wendy took 5,000 steps today. Diet is good.
A pedometer?
Yeah, that'd be sad.
There's a guy that she was talking about. She interviewed one of her first books, Yvonne Smith, and was saying that he had the same thing where he got an implant removed and then he got brought up to a ship, and then during regression, basically... The thing he kept remembering, he was screaming, was like, I'm me! No, I'm the one! You did it! You already gave me the implant! Because the aliens were saying to him, we don't recognize you. Where's your implant? Where's your implant? And he's just like, I'm me. You know me. You know me. Like, he's a guy at fucking bar at last call trying to get his fucking credit going.
Right. So leave the implant in is what you're saying. That's your best bet. Otherwise, the aliens are just going to come back for you.
They get real mad.
Yeah.
And so they didn't touch Lacey that night. But Lacey had been touched pretty badly earlier, where she was basically, she had one of the strangest abduction scenarios I had ever heard in my life, where she went to go see, basically...
And these are the Nordics that abduct Lacey, right?
She Nordics and bugs.
What's the difference? What do the Nordics look like?
They just look like Swedes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big, strong, handsome, beautiful people.
So those are the ones you really want, as opposed to the Greys or the Mantis people. She kind of got lucky with the Nordics.
Yeah, they're the nice. They are technically the nice ones.
Okay. Technically, that's the good. Nice ones. And they were a bit perverted by a man that we will cover on our episode next week. A bit perverted by a man named Adolf Hitler. You can compare the Nordics to the Aryan ideal of the Nazis.
And he may have been met a bunch of them, and he's like, oof, you look like me. Oof, we friends? We party buddies now?
No one wanted to party with Hitler, you know?
And so...
Everybody wanted to party with Hitler. They called it the Nazi party.
That is fun. That is a good joke.
That is great.
Nazi schlufen.
So the Nordics went and got this Lacey girl.
So she had a library around the corner for her house, and it's like very trippy. She walked around the corner of her house to go to this library, and she noticed there was a line of people just hanging outside of the library waiting to get in for no reason.
Humans.
Yeah.
And so
it is abnormal for Americans
to be waiting for a library.
I must get in.
It's just like they'll wait outside of a Foot Locker for a random basketball shoe.
Right.
So she walked in there. She was like, there was no librarian on board, and there was just an old man screaming about how there was no today's newspaper. And he was yelling about this newspaper. But this was in 1993. And so she was there to make a photocopy of an article of this UFO abduction case magazine that she was featured in. And she wanted to show somebody.
Man, it was so much different back then. I feel like we lose that going to the library, microfiche, making a copy. Like, and she was in the paper. Now you just get sent that in a link in your Facebook.
But the problem is, the way I do my research is that I can't even imagine doing it with any clothes on.
Right. That Henry Zebrowski was arrested in 1992, naked in the library for the third time.
I bet I could find a dank basement in the library to do all my research. I'd be right at home.
There's a
lot of typewriter.
So she walks in. And she goes to the copy room, and all of a sudden her head really starts hurting. And she goes out of the library. It's basically, she's like, she gets really confused, and she notices that the bottom of her feet and the back of her neck are covered in a clear liquid, like this goop, right?
The bottom of her feet, too.
Ben, say it.
What's that? Hot stuff?
Yeah.
It is hot stuff. I love feet. I'm getting big.
That's
into
disgusting.
It. Anyway, let's move on.
So she goes back to the hotel. She goes back to her house, and she realizes it's been 5 hours. So she's been gone basically doing some hypnotism regression. She goes up and basically reveals that she wakes up to a needle being stabbed into her gut, where a praying mantis is basically taking eggs from her, and they're like, listen, don't worry about this. They're like, this is just a part of the process. You know how this is. We've been doing this for years, blah, blah, blah. They're very reasonable. They're always like, hey, no. You know what we're doing. And so she's like, this has to stop. She's like screaming and the thing. She's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And
it's a lot of money. Those eggs are very expensive.
Oh, very expensive. $20,000 it takes to get some eggs.
Nobody wants redheaded semen, but those eggs.
So they were like, do you remember the deal you made? Mm. And she's just like, what are you talking about? And basically, these praying mantis and her, like, they show her all of her hybrid babies of all of these things, and they're like, you take care of our children and we don't take your children. And so, like, that was like a thing that they had set up. And so
this is just them getting a nanny?
This is essentially yes, because that's another thing in the abduction scenarios we see all the time. We were talking about with the alien hybrids episode, which is like they need our warmth. Yeah. They need our emotions to raise these kids. And so
That also works in some of the theories. I think Jacques Vallée puts forth is that the Earth is essentially a gas station or an energy source that they use to feed off of our
emotions.
The
grand theory is that we are a part of what he calls a control environment.
It's a control environment.
We live in a virtual reality that, I mean, which is already true, where they already talk about, where they say, when mathematicians talk about how, like, we live in a hologram of reality, what that basically means is that our reality is real fucking thin, and on a micro level, all of the math breaks down.
It is a bit like the theme of Monsters, Inc. The monsters feed off our fear.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much just Monsters, Inc.
They were looking at a Billy Crystal.
Right. Yeah. So really our biggest quality that humans have, it is our emotions. It is our ability to feel. That's the one. Aliens are smarter than us, but they can't feel anything. So
this is also in a Steven Spielberg human universe where our emotions are important.
This is like a Doctor Who, why David Tennant loves him. I just love you humans.
I love you humans.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And so basically what they were saying is that we need it. So she then would get regressed for many more abduction scenarios afterwards. And it's basically her just going up and breastfeeding hybrids. And she did that in order to keep them from taking her children.
So she gets a banana tit then.
Yeah.
Wait, so they can take our semen using just a Dixie cup over our dick, but they can't get a breast pump?
No.
To just, you know, get a bunch of...
This is what I'm saying. But this is what they say. So it's all this ridiculous shit, right? Every time these aliens, these high strangest things happen, because that Lacey is what happened to her. They pumped a bunch of black fluid down her throat. They said to clear out her system. And the same thing happened to another man that was abducted at the Hotel Coronado that night. He woke up throwing up just gobs and pints of black fluid. And then he said he took a very strange dump as well.
My fecal matter was particularly peculiar.
I'm sorry. I am obsessed with this. This is the thing I take the most seriously.
Right.
Is this whole thing. I was up late last night.
So he's got odd dumps. He's vomiting crazy things.
Yes, and so
that's a sad time in your life when you start to have to look at your dump and analyze what it means.
You should be looking at it now.
No, I don't want to.
You're gonna get cancer.
I look at it every single time I
dump.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes I don't.
You have to.
Yeah, you have
to. You don't have to.
What if sometimes I'm proud.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Sounds like that's a big pile. Good for me.
Those were the main abductions we can talk about in this episode in terms of those are the ones that are the important ones. What I like is the ones that you did not cover in the outline.
Mr. Phil Baxter.
Baxter.
And these are all the same people that were at the same event at this village.
The same night. Yeah.
Very crazy.
Yeah, so he woke up. So basically, he got really sick that morning. You know, he woke up and he said that I may have experienced something that night, but I'm not really sure what it was. And so the truth of what happened was, so in the outline, it does not say, so Phil Baxter was staying in this hotel room.
Yeah.
They do not talk about a man named Gary that was also staying in the hotel room with him, right? Now, Gary sounds like a real fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Right? He is kind of a, he's a very weird man, it seems like. He's got they said he was real particular about the room. He came in, and they got sort of like lumped together. Phil Baxter, so same scenario.
Mm-hmm.
He is lying back in bed at night. The room is illuminated with light. He wakes up to an alien next to him, a gray, black eyes, who's got a small black wand in her hand, his hand. Who knows?
It's alternately described as a black wand or a black rod.
Rod.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it touches to his forehead. He wakes up on top of a table sitting there with a female gray in front of him. And he's just hanging out there. And they got this wand and they're just kind of like tapping him with the wand, the wand. And he's just like, oh, what's going on here? It's like, why, like, you know, like, what's happening here? And they're like, you know the drill. She's like, but don't, you know, like, it's going to be fine. We'll be done with you soon. We're just running some tests on you. Totally normal. Scratching at the bottoms of his feet. which is another thing that I think I didn't realize. They literally go like,
yeah, that sounds good though. I could go for one of those. It's like a pet egg.
Yeah, it seems nice.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's like, imagine if Mike Lawrence was doing it with his hands.
You know, so the Grays have really sweaty palms.
Really sweaty palms.
Mike Lawrence from the Nerd of Mouth podcast.
He's great. And so he didn't realize that like Gary got picked up too.
Yeah.
And but Gary is next to him. Getting fucking ripped, right? And he's looking at
what
Gary,
do you mean
right?
Ripped? He's getting torn apart.
He
anally
literally,
or
he's sitting there watching, and this alien's got it like kind of like poking him with a thing, and he's watching Gary going like,
he's freaking out
with a tube up the front of his dick and a tube up his ass.
Oh wow!
Right, they're doing both, right? Yeah, and they're just shoom, hit him all the stuff,
DP.
And they're like. They're going at him and going at him and going at him. And he's just like, what's going on? What are you doing to Gary? You know, and they're like, don't worry, don't worry. That's not going to happen to you. And he's just like, well, what do you mean? And he's just like, you know what we mean. And he's like,
yeah.
He said, I have this overwhelming feeling like I was a member of their family. And he's, they're like, there's some of you that were way more interested in than others. Some of you have more of a reason to be here. And some of you just end up here.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was just this illuminating thing of just being like, you were, because he said that he grew up with these psychic experiences. Like, he could tell when earthquakes would happen. And he would,
like
I mean,
dog.
He's a little, yeah, like a dog. And so Gary got the short end of the stick real hard.
Yeah,
and so
sounds like he got the long end of the stick, really.
And then when he woke up, so he wakes up, they wake up, and it feels like, oh, I got a headache, man. Wake up to Gary in the bathroom screaming, Phil, come in here. I've got a mark on my penis. And so they're like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, no, I'm not fucking coming in there. I'm not going to come and take a look at the mark on your penis. No, there is a bruise in here with three puncture wounds on the tip of my penis. You don't want to see it?
Oh, man.
He's just like, no, man, I lost the bet.
Yeah, they were just
to room with
right,
you, Gary.
They were randomly chosen together.
They told me it would happen. I didn't believe them.
So what's not a clean outline, I want to just go and read some of what happened to Gary in a previous life. So Gary decided to meet Yvonne. Gary was a very reluctant member of the Research Society because it seems like he got a lot of things happened to him. This was him as a boy.
It seems like these aliens, we might have it all wrong. We think that they abduct rednecks, but I think these might be the redneck aliens that are coming down here. They seem very, they seem to be doing a lot of local activities.
They seem to be, to me, it sounds like just a whole bunch of shots in the dark. Like, they're just sort of experimenting, but they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Throwing some shit in there. They just have to have gallons of semen. Yeah.
Gallons of semen and what they're
doing
with it.
What are they going to do with it, yeah.
So, poor Gary. So he had a thing happen to him. He woke up as a boy with a Boy Scouting trip. He woke up. I mean, you know.
Well, we know.
Okay, so far we've got don't want to stay in Grandpa's house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now we've got Boy Scout trip.
Boy Scout trip.
Oh, right.
He woke up with two scoop marks on both sides of his ass.
Right? He did.
He got it real bad. And he woke up and he doesn't remember what happened to him. So finally he says, while sleeping one night, and during hypnotic regression, I awoke to something touching my feet.
Do the Gary voice that you were doing last night.
In September 1977, while sleeping one night, I awoke to something touching my feet there. At the foot of my bed were two small dark figures, and I was like, hey! Hey now!
Oh,
all right, I saw them, and I immediately fell back asleep. I believe this was an abduction experience. So I'd like to do some sort of hypnotic regression with you, Yvonne. So,
man, this guy can really sleep through a lot of stuff, though. I would stay awake if that happened to him.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
All right, so he wakes up to, I think there's a light in the room. I think somebody's moving over to my shoulder. Yeah. It's right. I saw the guys. It's the guys I saw at the foot of my bed. It's them. Standing there, I think he's looking at me. Oh, he's touching my shoulder. Okay, I think we're moving to the window. I can't really be sure. Somebody's touching my forehead and my shoulder. Yeah. Okay. All right, now they're touching again. On the left side. My body feels like it's shaking. They're touching me.
Yeah.
All right, now they're touching me on my back. Down my spine. Oh, he's touching my spine. He's moving up and down my spine. I don't think I have anything on.
I don't think I'm wearing any clothes. Further down near my butt. I think they're moving my legs. Oh, they're opening my legs. They're opening my butt.
Oh no.
This opening is direct transcript.
Oh, Gary.
They're grabbing me. They're grabbing me. Ah, my penis. They're grabbing my penis. It's gonna hurt. This guy, he says, don't worry, it's not gonna hurt, you know? But then I think he touched me with something that's gonna give me an erection.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't control anything. Oh, I think you're sticking something inside me there. Oh, in my penis. They're sticking it in the end of my penis. Oh, some type of tube. It's a long silver tube. Oh, it hurts. It definitely hurts.
Yep.
I just feel tingly, and I just got a light on it. The long silver tube. I think it's got a thing on the end of it, sort of like a bigger tube. It's going into a bigger tube.
Oh, like a Russian doll type thing. Huh?
Yeah, and then they say that the tube attached to a gigantic X-ray machine on the wall, right? So that happened to him.
So they opened up his butt, huh? That is a visual. I don't even know how to visualize the opening of the butt. It's the cheek thing, and then you got the hole.
Oh yeah, and then so he walked.
I bet you can visualize opening up of the butt.
Yeah, I picture. I mean, I guess I have to picture Gary like Henry, so I know what Henry's butt looks like because the whole goddamn world does. So I just picture two little butt cheeks. They're opening up my butt.
That's exactly what it is.
And two little pancakes. Open it up.
This
hold
is
him
his,
over.
His testimony from after he was trying, because like so she asked him So basically, Yvonne was like, "So what happened after the fact? Like when you woke up that morning, when that thing? Because he did not remember anything from the night at the Hotel Coronado.
No,
he did not remember anything. But Gary and Phil's relationship fell apart. Like they were sort of talked before.
Yeah,
but they were like because basically Gary locked eyes with Phil while they're on the abduction thing. While he just watched him get raped and not doing anything.
Yeah,
he could have vouched for him.
Phil did not leave his room for the rest of the conference.
No,
he did not want to talk to anybody. Yeah. He didn't want to interact with anyone. Man. He just stayed inside.
Because he saw some bad shit.
CNN all day.
He had to room with Gary.
And
you know, that'll just ruin it for anybody.
This is just this. This is where you could just see all of Gary's character. So it's just like, we caravaned up to Carlsbad where we had lunch or early dinner, and that's when I mentioned the mark to a bunch of people. And because he started talking about, at dinner the night before, he kept talking about how he's got a mark in his penis. He wants to come and see the mark in his penis.
Yeah.
So finally, I took Jesse inside the restroom with me.
Jesse, male or female?
Yeah, he's a male.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wanted him I wanted him to witness it. Yeah.
Witness.
Now, yeah, you see, I was trying to take photos of the mark. Yeah, I was trying to take some photos of the mark for the people because it's like she's like, so you tried to take photos of the mark?
1994.
Yeah.
So he, he picked up a disposable camera from the condo.
Legitimately, that is all in here.
He would have to go and get that. Someone else would have to develop that film for him. So somebody got a fun little surprise.
You know, I gotta say there was a lot involved in trying to take the pictures. What it involved was I had to suck in my stomach. I lay my penis erect, not flaccid, on top of a towel on top of the washing machine, and maintain all of that.
So
keeping it on the towel, my belly sucked in, and my penis erect. This was the day after, and in fact, it became all too much.
So that the only
now
way
the,
you
yes,
can see,
the, yes.
He now, has to get hard and suck in his penis.
Now the photograph. Now the photographs just show a flaccid penis kind of popping out over a fat belly.
I like Gary.
I like Gary.
Oh, man.
I got to say, I worked at a CVS developing counter.
That's a very interesting job. You must have seen quite a few different sort of dick pics.
Did I tell you
like
about
that?
The fat old lady I saw on a toilet with a red hat on? She was naked. She was totally naked sitting on a toilet, and she had a red hat on, and I made a bunch of extras of it, and I put it all over my apartment.
Oh, man. Back in the day when you had to have somebody else handle your most private photos, that was something special.
So that's one story. And then there's another story about a woman named Melinda, who was a person who was also abducted from the Hotel Del Coronado.
Okay.
And the difference about her abduction scenario is that it was very clear. She saw these gigantic chairs, these high chairs, and she saw everybody there. She saw Gary. She saw Phil. She saw Alice slash Nancy, saw Lacey slash Lori, saw Mike. And she saw a sea of tables, and there was a bunch of people sitting on like stools, and they had these wand attachments put to their heads, because basically she was saying the aliens were explaining to her that aliens were looking for energy from our memories, which is really interesting. And she,
neurotransmitters.
And there was an article written about it that she found that was about how electronic transfers to the brain can summon specific memories. But what Melinda was a specific sufferer of was a thing called MELAPS, which I didn't really understand was its own category, which is military abductions, which is abductions that happen, and on the spacecraft or during the abduction, you see someone in military gear.
So and you're those just are really some of the most accurate sightings of UFOs come from military people, and of course, Hellyer has been all over the news, the former the defense minister for Canada.
Oh yeah,
you know, and he's ruining his reputation on a daily basis.
He's old; he doesn't care.
Yeah. This is just a quick rundown of her various abduction scenarios, cool. And this will lead into the final topic of this. This is just showing how many different scenarios happened in this night. Early 1990, two roommates witnessed military men shouting orders at me in the middle of the night. I have no memory of this. July 27th, 1993, missing time while driving with two friends. Taking my ETs with the man in naval uniform present, monitoring the procedures. We were each regressed by a psychologist who said that each of us recalled the same exact details. July 21st, 1993, gynecological medical procedures performed by humans in an underground facility. Hazmat clean room environment. I was regressed many times for this one. November 23rd, 1993. Flown on triangular ship. Miscommunication screw up. Drugs administered and interrogated extensively about ET technology. Mid-1990s. Experience with a friend while traveling in Sedona, Arizona. Car stopped by military personnel and I was escorted away from my friend. I was not regressed for this one, but had conversations with the witness friend many years later about her memory and my conscious memory. I would have doubted if not for her detailed account. Late 1990s. Interrogation and threatened with a gun put to my head in a military tent on a base located in the California desert. I was regressed for this one. August 20th, 2000. Abducted with friend out of her apartment and taken to underground base. Both of us were interrogated, threatened, and saw reptilian with the military. Photo evidence of break into home. November 2010, abducted with three friends out of a friend's house in Sedona, Arizona, taken to an underground base with military and ETs together. All four of us were tested for psychokinetic abilities. Regressed by Yvonne.
I'm just jealous these guys have so many close friends. You know, these guys are always hanging out with each other.
Oh yeah, birds of a feather, my friend.
Yeah, I guess so.
So basically we're seeing all of it. We're seeing semen got collected.
Right.
Eggs got collected. Butts were open. Everybody was there. All in this one night. All of this shit was kind of all tied together. I think that's an important summary of alien abductions.
Yeah, it's a real superstorm of events there. That's pretty awesome.
But the one thing that we do have not talked about yet that is around that's basically a shadow on top of this whole experience is that Bill Clinton was there.
Yeah. Bill Clinton was at this conference the entire time.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton and his Secret Service.
And this was the 90s, this conference.
This was 1994, two years into his first term.
Okay.
So, Bill Clinton, why was Bill Clinton there?
Why was he there?
Was it just something? Was it the aliens proving to Bill Clinton, like, hey, listen, we can abduct as many people as we want, whenever we want, right under your fucking nose?
Because the whole place was surrounded by Secret Service, too.
The whole place was surrounded by Secret Service. So it could be, if you'll remember, Eisenhower signed a contract with the Greys back in 1954.
650,000 people signed to the Greys for consumption.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
So Bill Clinton, who, by the way, admitted on the Jimmy Kimmel show that as soon as he got into office, he started requesting documents about aliens, what kind of UFO encounters that we had. So it's possible that Bill Clinton came across this Eisenhower contract and said, hey, wait a minute. This is fucked up. We're not going to do this anymore. These are American citizens. Because say whatever you want about Bill Clinton, he loves the American people.
Yes, he does.
He does.
And he also several times brings up the concept of if we were fighting with aliens, we wouldn't be arguing right now.
Exactly. Bill Clinton obsessed with the movie Independence Day.
He wanted to be an alien attack president.
Bill Pullman went to the White House himself for a screening of Independence Day. Bill Clinton, I found no less than 7 different instances, and this is just all I could find,
yeah.
7 different instances of Bill Clinton mentioning Independence Day, and even some of them were a little bit of a stretch. He was facing a veto fight, and this was like in 99. This was like the end of his presidency. Yeah. He was fighting, there was a veto fight with Congress, and he said he made the following statement to a group of educators. He said, you know, if we were being attacked by space aliens, we wouldn't be playing these kinds of games.
This is what I'm talking about. It. And so, and that was him too watching Independence Day, and he's like, oh, that there president, he didn't know that there were aliens either. Yeah. I bet if I just do a little bit of digging.
Yeah.
You can find it.
Yeah. Because if you'll remember, because he said on Jimmy Kimmel, he's like, listen, you know, they didn't tell, we didn't find anything about the aliens. We didn't find anything there. But if you remember in Independence Day, Bill Pullman's character, the president, he didn't know about the aliens either. They took him out of Area 51.
You can't trust Bill Clinton with the biggest fucking secret in the world. He would have said it to any truck stop woman that he met who was blowing him. She'd be a little blown him. Be like, you know there's aliens, right?
The economy was booming. Our president was just researching aliens and finger-popping chicks.
That's all he was talking about.
Cigars and women.
And Hillary,
that's probably where
got
the cigar idea, as a matter of fact. Researching all the aliens.
That's his brown wand.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Lewinsky has a similar tale, but it's all about Bill.
Oh, yeah. Hillary Clinton brought it up. He compared aliens to UFO sightings to Social Security on 8 different occasions. When the man found a metaphor, he stuck to it. And on the aforementioned Jimmy Kimmel appearance with Bill Clinton, a man, his name is Ben Hansen. He's the host of the sci-fi TV show Factor Fake Paranormal Files.
All right.
He did an in-depth analysis of Bill Clinton's body language, and he noted that he had nonverbal cues of stress and evasiveness, eye contact, and use of hands.
That's every politician whenever they're talking.
Yes.
Especially when they're talking about aliens.
Yes, yeah. Clinton, he had both hands. He was using both hands as he talked.
Yeah.
He had both feet on his floor. He described, Hansen described him as having a defensive stance.
Whoa.
And when Jimmy Kimmel asked, and when Jimmy Kimmel said, oh, you're trying to give me a hint that there are aliens, Bill Clinton said no while nodding his head yes.
And that is the coup de grace, my friend.
But let's also remember that Ben Hansen said he's not an expert in nonverbal communication, but he does use the skills regularly in his work as the host of Sci-Fi Network's Factor Fake Paranormal.
And with his wife, cool, who is sick of it.
Yeah, I'm sure that she is. That's awesome, man. Great research.
I know. This was a very educational episode, sort of. I tried
this
my best.
The first coherent alien episode that we've done.
I think so as well, and it's the first time I've ever heard of an alien just opening butts.
He opened my butt,
and you know what, Gary? It's dinner right now, so we should have talked about it. We'll talk about it at the bar after.
You're right. I know you're in the middle of your Colorado skillet there, but the one thing I do gotta say is that, man, they could be using some thinner tubes when they shove them right up the front of your dick there.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
It's also anybody who continuously refers to their penis as penis. I just feel like if I'm getting a tube shoved up my dick, I'll be like, my dick, instead of being like, I can't. Oh, it's the penis is the problem.
My penis.
Oh, man.
My penis.
Well, check out your dicks later on tonight and make sure that you were never abducted and things like that. Is it 3 little dots? Is that what they say?
It is somewhere? A bruise with 3 puncture wounds on the tip of your dick.
Right on the tip.
And the other thing, too,
my God.
It could be herpes. Don't worry about it, Mark.
You know what I would also say, too, is that that's probably a good way to get somebody of the weirder persuasion into the old bedroom there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If she's wearing crystals and she's got, like, sort of a scarf for a shirt but also for a pants, you can tell her that you have got an alien bruise on the tip of your dick, and she will look at it.
Yeah. That's great. Can also go for women who have corsets on, although that is a longer shot.
That is a longer shot, and it's a deeper game you're playing because you're going to have to already be at the Renaissance Festival.
When the corsets pop off, it's a whole nother world down there, so be careful. All right, everyone, March 23rd through March 27th, we're going to be in the UK.
Buy your tickets. We're coming. Yeah. We got a hell of a shoe.
Oh, yeah. Gigsandtours.com. Search for Last Podcast on the Left. Go to iTunes and rate and review us. Get us up in that top 50.
Let's do top 50 this time.
Let's do top 50 this time.
I hate it when I see bizarre states ahead of us.
Oh,
but
God.
We've been beating them, though.
Yeah, we have been beating them.
That's
go to cavecomedyradio.com/lastpodcastontheleft to get your Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt and Heil Geen.
Yeah, hail yourselves.
Hail
everyone.
Sweet, sweet Satan. Thank you for your gift, Satan. Hail me as well. Magusta.
We'll talk to you soon. Oh, and listen to all the other, you know, CC.
CaveComedyRadio.com.
And hey, hail me, why don't you, huh?
Eh? They already did.
Yeah, they are.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Greedy.
We're gonna talk to you soon.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to CaveComedyRadio.com.